that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna." The disciples then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him." I want to preach for a few moments and tag this text, Hell Week. Hell Week. Repeat these words after me, please. Possibilities are fertile. If you're willing to go through hell. I don't think you heard what you said. So let's say that again, can we? Possibilities are fertile if you're willing to go through hell. Hell Week, Hell Week, Hell Week, Hell Week, Hell Week. It was Passover, and the Jews had come from all over the known world to Jerusalem to celebrate and commemorate what Yahweh had done by liberating their ancestors from bondage in Egypt. Wherever Jews resided, it was aim and effort for them to travel to Jerusalem to attend at least one Passover observance. In addition to those who had traveled from far away, those Jews who came from within Palestine, it was their obligation to be present for Passover. It was during Passover that the high hopes and expectations were strongest, that the Israelites anticipated the Messiah to return, as Scripture said, to liberate them from the oppressive regime of Rome. And Jesus seemed to fit that profile. If you were to read the entire chapter of John, you would learn that a part of the Passover crowd consisted of believers, non-believers. Part of the crowd were well-wishers, and some just came to watch. And there were those that came that were curious, and some were cautious. And yes, there were those in the crowd who were critical. All showed up to get a glimpse of Jesus. John's gospel account tells us that it was during Passover that Jesus came to Bethany to see his good friend Lazarus. Those of us who come to Bible study would know that Lazarus was the one that Jesus raised from the dead. And news about this great miracle had reached the curious and the hopeful in Jerusalem. As Jesus headed towards Jerusalem, he was accompanied by an enthusiastic entourage. It had been with him in Bethany, and they had seen Jesus' mighty work. Word went ahead of Jesus that the one who raised Lazarus from the dead was coming to town. When the happy Bethany crowd met up with the hopeful Jerusalem crowd, it added to an already party atmosphere, and Jesus comes riding in a 7-series Beamer. I'll just check to see if y'all were paying attention. He came riding in on a donkey like an R&B star. Some of the people placed their coats on the ground while others stood on the side of the road and cut down palm branches from the tree and laid them down on the road for Jesus to ride over. And still others waved palm in the air, shouting, "Go Jesus, go Jesus, go." The Passover crowd shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Matthew's gospel tells us that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, there was so much rejoicing that the city atmosphere was electric. And as the excitement continued to build about Jesus, John's gospel tells us that the Pharisees became fearful, saying, "The whole world has gone after him." You see, the past 3 years have been momentous and meaningful to the ministry of Jesus. The consensus crowd of cheering seemed to suggest that Jesus' popularity was at its peak. Family, if the movement of Jesus had ended here with the chanting and the cheering and no jeering, If the gospel writers had put down their pens and concluded their accounts with Jesus, Palm Sunday's praise entry into Jerusalem would have been a neatly packaged Palm Sunday that ends with celebration, with Jesus as celebrity, and victory as a happy Holy Week. What better place, what better way, what better way for the gospel to end at what seems to be the pinnacle of Jesus' prophetic performance? Jesus, born in a barn in Bethlehem, rises up from being raised in a little funky town called Nazareth, whose stepdaddy was a jackleg carpenter, whose mama was a teenager. Jesus, a carpenter turned prophet, turned preacher, turned teacher, turned miracle worker, small town Jesus, small time Jesus, becomes big time Jesus. Jerusalem gives mad praise as Jesus rides in with his crew. What better way for a story to end than Jesus riding in the wave of popularity and acceptability and victory into a happy Holy Week? The family, what started out as a happy Holy Week turned into a hell of a week for Jesus. Family, if this week is viewed as a happy week, we Christians miss the painful price Jesus paid that made palm waving relevant and worth doing. Did you hear what I said? The truth be told, it's easier to be happy when you're not dealing with hell. It's easy to shout hallelujah when you don't have to deal with hurts. It's easy to praise when you don't have to deal with pain and problems. Am I right? It's easy to be Christian when it's all good, when there's no risk, when there's no inconveniences, when there's no need to sacrifice. It's easy to be peacock proud and hallelujah happy, as my frat brother, Reverend Dr. Freddie Haynes says. It's easy. Everything is happy and holy and heavenly. But family, while the Passion Palm Sunday story is a feel-good story, Palm Sunday represents a painful week of process for Jesus. You see, the palm swingers, the Hosanna singers walked with Jesus on Palm Sunday but at that point, after Palm Sunday, they were not seen or heard from all week long. I could tell that some might not be comfortable with me saying Jesus caught hell. But that's what happened. Huh? If something happened bad to you, you don't say, I caught a problem. Come on, y'all ain't all that saved. Man, I caught hell this week. Huh? Plus it's in the Bible. This week Jesus felt and dealt with the defiance of the devil. Y'all know him, don't you? This week, Jesus dealt with spiritual opposition. This week, Jesus dealt with social sabotage by friend and foe. We don't appreciate having to mention palm and pain. We don't appreciate having to mention happiness and hell in the same breath at the same time. But it is what it is. Without pain, we won't understand the Lord's passion. We cannot get holy without going through hell. Did you hear what I said? The only thing on the other side of hell is holiness, unless you prefer to stay in hell. You see, hell is the only place that you'll ever go. You know how we say, if you keep doing the same thing that you've always done, you always get what you've always got. That's hell. That's stupid. Come on, y'all talk to me this morning, please. God's life-transforming power in Jesus can only be experienced by him going through hell. And get this. For believers, Passion Week, for us, we must assess our personal attitude toward life. We must assess our personal attitude toward commitment. We as believers, we must assess our willingness to sacrifice. Those here who pledged in sororities and fraternities from the mid-90s and before, while in undergrad, we remember the last week of our pledge process, don't we? It was called Hell Week. The aim of Hell Week was to see, with all that you've been through and learned the last several weeks before, to see if you could be made to quit what you started weeks before. During his 3-year ministry, we heard Jesus saying, I must work the works of him that sent me. We heard Jesus say, no one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. We heard Jesus say those things. And knowing this, it was the devil's mission to put Jesus through hell, to turn him back from being faithful to the will of God. Family, we must watch Jesus on Monday of Hell Week after the Palm Sunday celebration when he went into the temple and kicked the money changers out from scheming and stealing and shortchanging the people. Family, Monday teaches us to first come to grips with the imperfections of the church. We must admit that even though we are Christian, we are not perfect. We must admit that we as believers are still misbehaviors. Come on with me, y'all. We as believers, we are believers and we are still sinners. I know as much as some folk like to make people think that we are perfect. We got our stuff all together. The truth is, the church is not made up of perfect but imperfect people striving for perfection. I hear some in agreement, but there's some sitting silently. But let's just do this if you ever would. If you would write out your sinner's resume and your righteous resume. Our sinner's resume would be the longest. Do I have a witness? Can we take some truth serum this morning? The Christian church is made up of sinners learning to live righteous. Church people are haters learning to love God and to love others and learning to love ourselves. And even though the church is not perfect, this is still God's house. And we are still God's people. Bless his name. We are the best people that God's got. Sin and all. Do I have a witness? See Jesus in Hell Week on Tuesday after Palm Sunday celebration when he debated those who criticized him and tried to discredit his teachings. Family, understand not everybody appreciates this week. Truth is, we must understand that holiness has its haters. Righteousness has its resistors. Did you hear what I said? Not everybody appreciates our praise. Folk outside the church are envious and jealous because of the attention that Christians receive on Palm Sunday. You see, they challenge us. Folk will question our position, not to learn, not to appreciate, but to discredit Jesus. Some will try to take away our joy. They will try to make us doubt our faith. Family, we cannot allow a Tuesday devil to diminish our Palm Sunday celebration. Like Jesus, all we can do is answer people with love and truth in the power of God and then let God handle what God does. The truth is, we don't get folk saved. We don't change folk mind. God does that. Did you hear what I said? So if you give an answer in truth and love and get out of the way and let God deal with them, sometimes don't even say a word. Just pray inside of yourself and keep it moving. See Hell Week on Wednesday when Judas, y'all know him, don't you? One of Jesus' cut buddies we're talking about. We're talking about one of the disciples, y'all. Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' partners, one of Jesus' chosen disciples, conspired with the Pharisees and the Roman police to snitch on and single out Jesus. Family, one painful lesson we learn is that every church, in every community, In every culture, somebody say every. In every family, in every friendship, guess what? There's a Judas Iscariot. Did you hear what I said? Most of the time, those who do us the greatest harm are those that are closest to us. People look like us, have sabotaged revolts that have been set up to free slaves. People who look like us have infiltrated and caused civil rights movements to falter. Brother Knowles, I'm clear that every sister ain't a sister. And every brother ain't a brother, and everybody ain't gonna make it into Wakanda. Candace Owens, y'all heard of her? If you haven't heard of Candace Owens, you better Google her right after worship. Candace Owens won't be allowed into Wakanda. Candace Owens is unconscious, corrupted, and co-opted, and being used by conservative political colonizers to degenerate our culture. Candace Owens, a conservative political commentator, is a black woman telling conservative white crowds that this country's political shifts that have impacted black people really didn't happen. Did you hear what I said? Candace Owens says that there was no Southern strategy when history clearly tells us that it was. And there are folks serving in Congress and the Senate and at local levels who were around when the Southern strategy occurred. Y'all don't hear me. Candace Owens says that the Nazi regime was to make Germany great. Come on, y'all need to Google this woman. Candace Owens says that there is no rise in white nationalism. Candace Owens says that racism and slavery is not what keeps black people from progressing, but there is evidence to the fact that it has. Like Judas Iscariot got paid a few pieces of silver for selling out Jesus, Candace Owens is getting paid. Candace Owens is gaining position, and Candace Owens is gaining power by selling out black people. But for every Judas Iscariot, for every Candace Owens who betrays our trust, there's a Martin King. And there's a Harriet Tubman who responds to us in love and concern. For every Judas Iscariot, every Candace Owens who discourages us, who tears us down, God sends someone to show up and build us up. Do I have a witness? For every Judas who hurts us, the Lord sends someone to help us heal. For every Judas Iscariot who plans and plots for us to fail and to fall, the Spirit of the Lord inspires us into seeds for our cause. Follow Jesus into Hell Week Thursday. See Jesus in the upper room where he sat down with his disciples at the Last Supper, broke bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." Family, learn that you can make sacrifices for people who are not willing to sacrifice for you. That's what we learned on this Thursday. Because of your faith in God, you can make sacrifices for people who are plotting and planning against you for reasons that don't make sense. Stay with me, church. Family, learn from Jesus that you can sacrifice for people who want to do what the secular prophets, the OJ, said. What they do. They smile in your face. The backstabbers. When you are willing to sacrifice, family, you will pray about things, do things that benefit others that won't benefit you. See Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and hear his heartfelt, passionate prayer. "Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." When Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but thine," Jesus went to the cross at Calvary inspired by the mission of the mind of God. Check this, family. See Jesus in Hell Week on Thursday as he stood before his accusers. Jesus having the power to destroy them. Jesus having the power to call a legion of angels to deal with them. But never once did Jesus disrespect them. I'm about to share a hard lesson with us here. God sometimes plants us in the most useless, hopeless, most difficult places. God places us in the most difficult families, in the most difficult communities and personal situations in order for us to learn not to measure our lives by where we are or what's going on around us. Why? Come on, y'all. I don't miss your shout. The reason why is because it's in the glory of our lives that God brings out the glory in our lives. Do I have a witness? Anybody here been down in the dirt, down and groveling and down in the muck and mire, but the Lord has brought you up and out? John Wesley Howard, that bad capital preacher, John Wesley Howard, talking about a Hebrew word, chesing. Chesing. Somebody say chesing. Not hess. You got to say chesing. Chesing means that God never takes his hands off of you. No, don't shout yet. Don't shout yet. Maybe you already get it. You're down in a despicable mess, down in a dirty mess, and God got his hands on you. God does not remove God's hands because God's got dirt and mess on his hands. God keeps his hands on us while we're in our mess. Now we can shout. You ever wonder why? And what should have happened to you? You ever wonder why you got out when other people stayed stuck? Because God never took God's hands in spite of the dirt. See Jesus in Hell Week on Friday. For Jesus, it was a badass Friday. It was a turn back Friday. It was a turn back night. And those of us in frats and sororities know about turn back night. Lord have mercy. Turn back night is the sisters and the brothers, the sorors and the frats are trying to turn you back from crossing over into the fraternity or sorority. They're trying to keep you from crossing over. They're trying to turn you back from the journey that you started weeks and weeks before. Friday night was turn back night for Jesus. Huh? It was the devil's last chance to turn Jesus back. It was the devil's last opportunity to get Jesus to curse God and give up on saving the world and die. On Bad Friday, Jesus was deserted, lied on, spat on, cursed out, beat for his clothes, beat down in his body, hung on a cross at Calvary to die. Jesus carried an old rugged cross, an ancient execution chamber. The word reminds us that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Two things working here. One, it's not easy to follow Jesus. It's not easy to follow Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. There are some who started out with Jesus, and once they got going, they dropped out. They quit. They turned back, gave up on being Christian. Well, some learned that Christians' requirement, the requirement of service and sacrifice, the requirement of generosity, when some learned the Christian requirement to love and to forgive, they started keeping a low profile. They come to church late and leave church early, trying not to make eye contact or physical contact with people. It ain't easy being Christian. Let me tell you something. Authentic faith and commitment to God will cause you to do what you don't want to do. Did you hear what I said? Check this. Last week, this Holy Week, this last week, this Holy Week is also known as Passion Week. And I know in the minds of most Christians, we see passion as something pretty and pristine and pure and light and easy and holy. But it ain't. Jesus did not go pitifully, pristinely, or purely. Jesus went passionately and powerfully to the cross to die. Passion means to desire it. Passion means to hunger for it. Passion means, like the young head say, he was thirsty. Jesus thirsted for the cross at Calvary. Jesus thirsted to die for you and for me. Somebody ought to shout right there. See the hell Jesus went through in Holy Week. It was believed that sin, death, and the devil had defeated Jesus. People believed that Jesus' life, his mission and his message and his ministry was over and meaningless. But you know, like I know, that it doesn't end there. Do I have a witness? Family, you go past a hell of a Holy Week. You learn by faith how to bury pain in the face of a heartbreaking experience and to wait on the Lord. Do I have a witness? Are there any waiters in the house? Any people waiting on the Lord to move? And even though Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all talk about crucifixion and burial, never, family, forget that there's another chapter beyond Holy Week. That was a shouting moment and you missed it. I'll give you another chance. There's more than our Lord's fate than a funky Friday. There's more to Jesus than beyond Satan and sin. There's more to Jesus and this week than shame and separation and struggle. There's more to Jesus beyond disregard and desperation and death on a bad Friday. Do you know what it is? I'm glad you do, because I can't tell you. I told you last year, I can't tell you on Palm Sunday. You have to wait until Resurrection Sunday for me to tell you. But I will tell you this. I learned something. And I've been saying it for a long time, but I learned something. God has a lot of names. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Nisi. The Elohim. The Adonai. God's got a lot of names. And we know all these ecclesial names. But I've come to agree, like some others, that God's other name is Somehow. Somehow. 2019 has been a hell of a year for Pastor King. I ain't talking about nobody else. I'm talking personally. I'm not going to tell you all I've been through. But this has been a hell of a year of 2019 for Pastor King. But every morning, somehow, I get up. Every day, when I feel like the day is not worth anything, somehow, God uses me. Every day, on their days, I feel like staying in my bed, pulling down the shades, pulling the covers over my head. But somehow, somewhere, God empowers me, and I get up, and I get out. God is a somehow God. Do I have a witness? this, during this hell week, somehow Jesus put up with death, sin, hell, and the grave. Somehow Jesus handled the cross at Calvary all night Friday, all night Saturday. But early Sunday morning, somehow, some way, God, I can't tell you, but I'll just say, somehow the Lord will make a way. Somehow the Lord will do it. Somehow, when you least expect it, the Lord will. The Lord will. Somehow. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? Do you know a somehow God? Say it! Yeah.